The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Matt and Doug alongside. Red Sox beat the White Sox for game one of this series, 8-1, your final score. The offense showed up big time in Peyton Tolley with another solid outing to get his fifth win of the year. Red Sox have won 8 of their last 10 and 4 in a row, and now find themselves just 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. So a little bit of a turnaround here, guys. Obviously, with this team, you never know. They might be in the middle of a good streak here, or they might lose the next 5 games in a row before the All-Star break. It's really hard to tell, but at least for tonight, good game against a good team that, you know, a young, prickly team that is kind of finding their way there in Chicago. So, Matt, I'll start with you. How'd you feel about the offense sort of really showing up tonight? 8 runs on 11 hits. This is the kind of thing we need going forward, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before I get too deep into it, you know, the White Sox are a good team. If you were to tell me at the beginning of the season that coming into this series, one of these teams, you know, one of the Sox teams would be in first place and the other Sox team would be in last place, I 100% would have thought the Red Sox would be coming in first place and the White Sox in last. But of course, it's the opposite, right? These White Sox are a young club. They're filled with a lot of familiar faces. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later, but they're a good ball club. Merlone called out some stats throughout the game. Heading into tonight, they were 41-29 since April 17th, which is tied for the best in the AL since then. So this is a good club. They're 24-6 at home in their last 30 heading into tonight. So yeah, once again, this is a good ball club, and we obviously were the team coming in last place tonight. But hey, 11 hits, that's enough to get the job done. Most of the game, I'm thinking, hey, 4 runs, this is the type of offense we needed all year. If we could just get to that 4-run mark, we're going to win more games than we lose, because, of course, Tolley was dealing on the mound tonight. We'll get into that later on. But then, of course, we pour on 4 more. We double up in the 9th inning, and I think everybody in the starting lineup got a hit except Durbin, who did get a walk later, and he put a lot of balls in play. But yeah, when everybody's getting hits, I mean, that was good to see. It felt like we were leading off the inning with a lot of hits or walks. And yeah, a couple of hard hit balls, a couple of home runs tonight. It's interesting. We saw Monasterio, Siegler, and Durbin all in there tonight. Obviously, Craig's big trade of the offseason. Maybe not their best performance overall, but Siegler, I think, led the game off with a hit. He's been doing just fine. I have no complaints with him at the plate. And yeah, good to see a couple long balls. Good to see a lot of stolen base attempts. I think. I know we're going to talk probably about some former Red Sox from former familiar faces, but a couple stolen base attempts. I know we got caught on a few, but it felt like we were picking on Teal. We can maybe talk about that later, right? The way that they were trying to attack him. Good thing to keep an eye on the rest of the series. But yeah, 8 runs will definitely get it done with this staff and the way Tolley was pitching.
Yeah, definitely. I like the point you made too about they were getting on the right away. It's like the leadoff guys. It felt like every inning, especially even in the first inning, you know, where the bases were loaded up, we didn't get it, but obviously, you know, it didn't hurt us in the end. But they were just all over the pitching right away. Every inning, it seemed every batter was just, you know, having good at bats and was just jumping on guys, pulling a lot of balls down the line, getting doubles, and it was great to see. Monasterio hit a home run, you know, early on in the game. And the lineup just looked really good. It looked like a really good, you know, put together lineup. It looked like they have some swagger to them now a little bit. You know, they're getting a little bit, you know, they're having a little bit camaraderie. I mean, Wilson, you know, kills the ball. He's just, you know, he's having a great season. You know, 20 home runs already. I think the projections were that no one on the team was even going to hit 20 home runs. and you know, and he's already got 20. And you know, when they come out and look like this, you know, I like our chances. You know, I really do. I mean, the way the pitching is, the way Tolley pitched, you know, we would like to see him get further. But, you know, when you give a guy like that support, you got to feel good about your chances. And when you give the whole staff like this support over a stretch, you can see what happens. You know, what, 8 or 10, 9 or 11, whatever it is. And you can see all you have to do is give these guys a little bit of run support. You know, you don't even have to give them 8. You give them the 4 that we need. And we could really put together some wins and some stretches. And I know the talent hasn't been the best teams in the league, but your schedule is what it is. And, you know, we're only, you said only a couple games back from the wild card. And I think we're only like 2 games back from like second place in the division, you know, or something. So, you know, I mean, I'm not like, you know, saying, oh, I'm high in this team now or anything like that. But, you know, when the lineup really shows up and puts together at bats, and we can compete with any team, we really can.
I mean, that's what it is. I think what they did a great job tonight was making the pitchers work. It took Schultz 18 pitches to get his first out in the first inning.
Wow.
And yeah, even though we didn't get any runs home in that first inning, we left the bases loaded. We had bases loaded, 1 out. You like to see a run home, but he threw 33 pitches in that first inning. I'm surprised he labored through 5 at the end of the day. But, you know, mentioned 11 hits before. I think the 7 walks probably deserves a lot of credit too. That's got to be the most we've had all season. Maybe that 17 run game that we had versus Baltimore, I'm not sure where that lies, but that's a, you know, 18 base runners. There's no errors on the White Sox side, so they weren't giving anything away. But yeah, we're making the pitcher work for everything out there. Felt like there was always full counts. Even when we were falling behind in counts, we were working it full. I know that Siegler worked that full count in the first at bat there. Sedan continues to, we did a little bit of everything, right? It felt like we had doubles, we had dinks, we had dunks, we had some bunts, we had some home runs in the, what was it? The 7th inning. There was the 9th inning, where it was crazy back-to-back doubles off each foul line. Just wild stuff. Duran had kind of a crazy bloop double there too. Like to see him swing the bat a little bit better coming out of Anaheim. I think if we're going to try to continue to make a run, he's going to have to be a key part of it. We've mentioned this before. As he goes, the offense goes. So if he can find a way to step it up here moving forward, that's a huge addition to the offense as well, just from him being there and playing better. But, yeah, everybody was on base, traffic on the base paths all night long. And then, of course, you mix in the starting performance from Tolley. Like I said, pretty good. It's a pretty good recipe for success there, making the other starting pitchers work, making them work from the stretch. I know we got thrown out a couple times on some steals, which I don't know if I love. But again, Teal, not known for his defensive prowl. I think tonight, actually, he threw out his first 2 runners of the season. Not sure I love Wilson on the steal attempt, and then Abreu. You know, Teal made a good throw there. He was 0-for-9 heading into tonight, though. So I like the pressure. I always like the pressure. And, yeah, we were putting balls in play, and good things were happening for us.
Yeah, I'd rather them keep trying to steal and get thrown out than not be aggressive.
Absolutely. Outside of Contreras, I do like everybody with the green light there. I think they're going to continue to attack him here in games 2 and 3 of the series for sure. Don't be surprised. They actually didn't really have all that traffic. It wasn't like a ton of base stealing opportunities per se. Plus I think they were, they were in command of the strike zone, and Schultz really wasn't, he didn't have his best stuff tonight. I know he's a young pitcher, but, you know, the Sox were poised at the plate, and I don't know if it's just a young pitcher, but if we can continue to have at bats like that, where, you know, if nothing else, the outcome is 6 or 7 pitches thrown, then I think that's going to be good, because that piles up quickly and you get into the bullpen quickly, and then anything can happen at that point.
Yeah, the approach was great. For me, the approach is what I really appreciated, because you have this kid, Noah Schultz, who's, you know, their top pitching prospect, but he just came back from the IL with a knee injury. So I love the fact they made him throw 30 pitches in that first inning. I mean, that's what you want to do. You got this young kid who's just off the IL. He wants to make a good return, and they were grinding. They were grinding at bats. They were making him work. I even loved Sadon trying to lay down a bunt. You know, like second batter of the game, you get a runner on first base. Like you guys said, keep bringing the pressure, because you know, you don't know how this kid's going to respond to that. And he didn't respond very well at all. So, you know, he did still grind out the rest of the game, made it five innings, but they made it tough on him. And I love the fact that they were mixing everything in. Like, they knew they were playing in a hitter-friendly park. Merlone sent out a broadcast. Like, that place is a launching pad. It's a big reason why the White Sox are having so much success. They've got, you know, the second-best offense in the American League. A big part of it is that ballpark. It is a hitter-friendly park. So, you know, Sadon hits one out, and, you know, you get the long ball going. But also, I love, you know, the bunt attempts. Connor Wong's bunt attempt was great. By the way, I think he's won back the catcher job permanently at this point because, frankly, I don't care that he's not hitting home runs. He's hitting 290, and he's still playing pretty good defense behind the plate. Yeah. It's not as elite as it used to be, but he's still doing just fine back there. And, you know, if he can contribute in small ways, you know, with those kind of bunts and just, you know, keeping that batting average up, keeping the offense moving, I'm fine with that. I don't need him to hit home runs. So I think that's been a positive development too.
Yeah, the White Sox actually played that bunt pretty well. I mean, a good throw or a good catch by Teal there probably gets Duran. And he's even only on third because of the pass ball from Teal too, which I think they called it a wild pitch. But I think a good catcher comes up with that. But yeah, especially after that first inning too, with the bases loaded, then they come right back with two bombs. It's a 3-0 lead. And I think that when we get a lead, especially a multiple run lead with some of these arms on the mound, you name the starter, right? You just give them a lead and you let them go to work. I mean, Tolley was just dealing. It was just great to see, especially, like you said, Sadon swinging the ball well, the bat well. And Wong, I'll take him back. I guess I kind of missed what we had when we didn't see him for a while there. He's actually been a pretty decent player overall. I know he had some injuries last year or year before with his wrist, and that's probably why what led to some of his offensive struggles there. But yeah, doing just fine behind the plate. No issues with the way Wong's been playing. And outside of that base running mishap, I guess, after the bunt too, right? Because there was a crazy play after it got thrown away and then mix up on the base pass there with him and Monasterio. Fortunately, we still end up with a runner on second, and no issues there on that mishap on the bases. But yeah, overall, all in all, good game. We'll take 8 runs. We'll take 11 hits. We love to see it, actually. Hopefully, it's the type of game that can give the hitters confidence, because that mentality, baseball is a very mental sport. Give them the mentality that, hey, we can do this. We can have success with this lineup, with this approach, and they can just build on that moving forward. You know, young guys need that.
Yeah, hopefully it, you know, propels them to win this series, you know, at the very least. You know, but now you can look at this like we have the chance at another sweep here. And last year they had a 10-game winning streak to go into the All-Star break. You know, so, you know, and then we had a pretty good second half. And, you know, there's guys on that. There's a lot of guys on the team from last year that were part of that winning streak. And Sadon was, you know, the big reason. He had those couple crazy walk-offs in that stretch and had that huge home run that night. And I think it was the last game he had that big walk-off. But, you know, they could be looking at this series right now with the pitching we have, with, you know, the way the White Sox are playing, that, you know, this could be another sweep. And we could really gain some momentum going into this break, and we can give our pitching some relief. You know, finally give them some runs and take a big break, take a big deep breath on, you know, on the break. We don't have that many guys going, you know, which a couple snubs, but, you know, I think when you're a last place team, you kind of get it, you know. But, you know, we need to win this series. And I really like the way they're playing going into the break, and it can really help us, you know, if they want to make a push at this wild card. It starts now. You know, you can't wait till after the break. These games are crucial.
Yeah, you actually stole some of my thunder there, Dougie. They, you know, that was their best baseball last year heading into the break. We were riding really high last year heading into the break, winning 10 in a row. And despite how this team has been playing this year, I can totally see them going in hot into the break again this year. You know, even if we just split these next two against the White Sox, we have the Mets coming up. They've been struggling. I always like our chances better on the road for whatever reason. The Sox just seem to play better the farther they are from Fenway. But yeah, if they were to even ride this out and go into the break on another winning streak of 7 or 8 or however many that would be, I guess a 10 gamer or nine in a row, if that were to happen. That wouldn't surprise me at all. My concern is the same thing that happened last year, which is, you know, we're playing our best baseball and then you ice us for 4 days. We're not playing baseball for 4 days during that break. And then we come back. I think we have the Rays when we come back this year from the break, but you know, we won 10 in a row last year heading into it and then came off the break 2-5, right? Stumbled out of the gates there. And then that's heading right into the trade deadline, which, I mean, this is, you know, this is, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen on this trade deadline, but you know, 3.5 back, if we continue to win a couple of games now, through the break here, you know, maybe we can gain another game or two until that time. And yeah, that's my only concern is we'll be playing good baseball and then, you know, we'll have to take a 4-game break and come back against the Rays and try to spark it back up again. But, you know, to your point, Doug, we got to take these wins when we can get them. We have to, there's not much margin for error here moving forward.
If you look at the AL East right now, the Red Sox are in the middle of a good streak here at the perfect time. Apart from the Rays, the rest of your division is floundering. The Yankees have lost 8 of their last 10. Toronto has lost 7 of their last 10. Baltimore has lost 6 of their last 10.
Wow.
So this is the perfect time to make up some ground in your division and in the wildcard race because other teams in the wildcard are starting to flounder too. So just take care of business. You don't have to, you know, I would love a sweep of the White Sox and the Mets, but you know, if you take 2 of 3 from Chicago and then go on to sweep the Mets, which you can do, then
definitely
that's huge going into the break. And again, the Yankees without Judge right now are struggling like big time.
Yeah.
So you can leapfrog them. And then, you know, before you know it, it's you're chasing Tampa, which, you know, I think Tampa is far and away a better team than you right now. But who knows? I mean, with your pitching, you go into a series against Tampa, maybe your pitching shuts them down and, you know, you're able to pick up a win, maybe two in that series. And all of a sudden your season outlook looks totally different. So this is the perfect time for them to get hot. And, you know, again, they're taking care of business when they need to, right? You go into that Angels series, the Angels are trash. They're terrible. And if the Red Sox had even just only won 2 of 3, I would have been disappointed because I would have come away with that. Like, really? You let the Angels get one over on you? But they didn't. They swung the bats really well and they killed that team over the weekend. So the momentum is absolutely going in the right direction. And, you know, it's just nice that right now you don't have Marcelo Meyer, you don't have Roman Anthony, you don't have Garrett Crochet. And honestly, those guys are kind of the furthest thing from my mind right now when I watch this team, because, you know, I'm not telling you that Anthony Seager is going to hit 350 the rest of the season, but he's doing his part. And, you know, Matt, you brought it up earlier, if Jarren Duran can start to really turn it around here, the power's been there. He's got 13 homers, so he's hitting for power. It's just he can't seem to get that average up consistently. But who knows? Maybe, you know, he starts hitting the bat well. Maybe he needs a little bit of a break too. So maybe the All-Star break is coming at a good time for a guy like that who we know, you know, plays really hard all the time. So it's heading in the right direction. And look, the obvious elephant in the room here is you're going to lose Wilson Contreras probably for a couple of games here. We don't know yet. I haven't checked Twitter. I haven't seen any announcements about his suspension, but I'm guessing he's still going to get at least 4 or 5 games. So that's going to suck because obviously he's one of your hottest hitters right now. And he's on a heat wave too. You know, being named to the All-Star team obviously means a lot to him the way he was talking about it tonight. So that's going to hurt. But honestly, you know, if they can just keep going with the approach they went with tonight, I mean, this kid Schultz, you know, he gives up a lot of homers and he particularly gives them up on his breaking ball. Both home runs hit tonight were on the breaking ball. Rafaela was all over it. Monasterio was all over it. So that's game planning. That's something that we haven't seen really this year, because I feel like when they were really bad and they were in the middle of a losing streak, we were sitting on this podcast going, do these guys game plan at all? Do they scout opposing pitchers or opposing teams at all? Because it feels like they didn't. Tonight was the opposite. Tonight feels like they knew what this kid was bringing and they knew what to wait for. They knew what to jump on and they did it. So it was a great offensive approach. Again, we'll see, you know, the coming days, you're going to lose Wilson Contreras, but I still think, you know, with this pitching staff, you know, 4 or 5 runs, it's all you need. And the pitching staff will carry you. And we saw that tonight, even Peyton Tolley, who first couple of innings, really shaky, you know, the command was all over the place. He was running the counts full. And I was sitting there thinking, oof, this is going to be a short night. for Tolley. Like, he might be done by the third, fourth inning. Managed to go six. Again, you know, just grind it out. You know, and that's what Peyton Tolley's done this year. When he doesn't have his best stuff, he still is able to grind. And, you know, once he gets the swing and miss going, he becomes really hard to hit. So another really solid outing from Tolley. And I think, you know, that's a guy that you're going to need going forward, because again, we don't know, trade deadline coming up. Is Sonny Gray still going to be here in a couple of weeks? We have no idea. Right. So I thought Peyton Tolley's performance tonight was really important as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he had a high pitch count in those six innings. I think he went 91, you know, but only the two hits, you know, and he's really proven that his fastball works, and he can really move it. He can really locate it at times. When he's not locating it, it doesn't look so pretty. You know, it really doesn't. But when it does, he looks great, and he can really work work strikes. I love pitchers that throw strikes, you know, and his strikeouts haven't been as high lately as they have before. But you know, he's trusting his defense behind him. He's trusting his stuff to keep it in the park, and he's pitching great. He looks great. He looks like he has command of the mound. He looks, you know, he looks confident. He looks completely in control. And you give him a couple runs, and you know, he seems to get feed off that energy. He's definitely a vibes guy, an energy guy. You know, he definitely likes the team to rally around him, and he loves to be a part of that. And if that helps him, you know, that's great. And I think our team's showing that, you know, they have some camaraderie, that they look together. And I think that helps a guy like Peyton Tolley. It helps a young pitcher to know that the team's behind him, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, even if he doesn't have the best outing. You know, this team is behind him, and the coaching staff's behind him. And, you know, I don't think he was far off, you know, from, you know, being an all-star. Like, he's that caliber right now. And when you give him just three, four runs, that's all he needs. And, you know, another stellar outing from another rookie. You know, it's just whoever they're throwing out there right now seems to be making it work.
Yeah, loved what I saw out of Tolley tonight, especially coming off his last outing, the clunker versus the Nationals, right? I love to see a bounce back game, and he only had that one walk in the first inning and two hits after that, and he was just cruising. I think he gave up his second hit in the fourth inning, and then that was it. And, you know, his strikeouts, he only had a couple strikeouts throughout those first few innings and then started to pile them on late, ended up with six. But, yeah, anytime you're going six shutout, you're giving your team a chance to win. Only three base runners the entire game. So I felt like he was just dealing, not getting into too much trouble. He was grinding, but also not working that hard, right? He didn't have to work out of too much trouble. They did work some tough counts on him, you know, 91 pitches through six. I think he had 21 or 22 in that first inning. So that's 70 or 69 through that last five innings, which is a little more tolerable. But, you know, he did his job without a doubt. These guys, it feels like everyone that we put in the starting rotation seems to be doing their job, especially once we sent Bayo down. Everybody's just been doing their thing outside of course, Early and Suarez going out with their elbow soreness there. But, yeah, really just another encouraging start from Tolley. I always like to see when pitchers go deep into games and get better as they move along, right? Because when you start to see the lineup a second or third time around, that's when hitters know, oh, you threw that the last time, or – you know, especially a guy like Tolley who relies heavily on his fastball mix-up, whether it's fastball, sinker, cutter. I think he only throws off-speed like 10% of the time, right? A little change-up, a little curveball. But typically, guys can struggle that second or even especially third time through the lineup. But he seemed to be settling right in. His second hit he gave up was in the fourth inning, and then he was cruising. So almost three perfect innings at the end of his run there. And, you know, anytime you see pitchers doing that, that means they're in a groove. That means they're really settling in, and it's not necessarily on luck where their first time through the lineup, they were lights out, and then the second time through, all the batters got a good read on them and starting to put them in play. Seems like kind of the opposite here where, you know, not that he struggled his first time through, but, you know, gave up a couple hits, I think, in the first time around, and obviously that walk in the first inning, but really settled in, and, you know, the bullpen came in. Kalum got into some trouble there. in the sixth, but Watson and Slayton got the job done. They were able to shut the door. Obviously, when we put up that four spot in the ninth, we didn't need Chapman at that time. But yeah, it's really, you know, the dynamic of the season kind of changing right before our very eyes here, this wacky season, this wacky American League. But if we can continue to pitch like that, if Tolley can continue to give us pitching outings like that, yeah, that's certainly going to give our team a chance to win. It's up to the offense to get that 4-5 run benchmark for us. I really, at this point, the way that we've been playing here these last few weeks, want to see Crochet come back. To your point, Jason, you know, Roman Anthony, I'm not losing much sleep over him. I'm not thinking too much about what he's up to. But I would like to see Crochet coming back, obviously, especially with Early going out, hitting the 10-day IL or 15-day IL. Definitely going to miss a week or two at least minimum. Suarez, we're still not sure. Classic Red Sox, oh, it's not too bad. We're not sure. But anytime any of these guys hit the IL, I'm concerned. It seems fortunate that Sandoval is going to make his first appearance as a Red Sox here right in the next couple of days. But if Crochet can find a way to come back and be a good pitcher, step in line here with the current arms we have while Early and Suarez get back, you know, and we can have some sort of, I mean, we at least need five good arms in the rotation, but maybe get that number up to six. Now you have that sixth arm probably looking like Sonny Gray, where you can buy and sell at the same time. Not that I think that the guy in charge can do it, but that opens up a lot more opportunities if you have six good starters, no matter where you are in the standings. But absolutely, you know, if I really am crossing my fingers now. I know there's not many updates around Crochet, but I'm hoping that he can find a way to come back and help contribute here the second half.
Yeah, definitely. The same way, I'm not really thinking about Roman, you know, and I'm not against Roman. I'm not one of these guys that's, you know, giving up on Roman or anything like that, but he's just not really in my mind. I'm not really thinking about him. Crochet would be huge. Crochet coming back would be huge. You know, he was obviously a little shaky at the beginning of the season, but I trust him. You know, he's an ace. He's a real ace. And, you know, adding an ace to an already, you know, really good pitching staff that's really performing well, you know, can only help. You know, it can't hurt you. And I think him coming back would be a huge, huge bump for this team, definitely.
So in terms of Tolley's outing, I agree with what you guys are saying. It's just good to see him go out there and get better as the game goes on. It's interesting timing because I wanted to talk about his velocity. And Maverick 987 in our chat just said that, I guess, Jacob Mizrowski from the Brewers tonight threw a pitch that registered at 107.5 miles per hour, which is insane.
That's wild.
And I hate to do this to you, Brewers fans, but enjoy that kid while he's healthy, because you want to talk about a Tommy John candidate with how thin he is. He's not just going to hurt his elbow. His arm is going to explode off his body at some point with what he's doing. But it's interesting because one thing I liked out of Tolley tonight, he didn't come out throwing 100, 101, which we know he's capable of. He started out throwing 96, 97, and he was able to maintain that later on in the game. We've seen Tolley a few times this year. He comes out, you know, especially some of those big starts against the Yankees, like comes out throwing 100 the first inning, then it's like 98, 99 the second inning. All of a sudden you get to like the fourth inning and he's down to 94, 93. And we're sitting there going, oh boy, what's going on? Where's the velocity? And I feel like he's finally getting to a point where he's controlling his velocity. He knows that, okay, if I come out of the gates, you know, throwing 100, by the fifth inning, my arm's going to be tired and I'm not going to have it. So I'd like to see that. Tonight he came out throwing 96, 97. That's still good enough to beat, you know, big league hitters, to get it by them. So really encouraging to see that. I think that's something that if he can continue to kind of teach himself to, you know, slow it down in the beginning, maybe save some of those bullets for later on, I think it's going to make him so much better going forward.
Yeah, and he was consistently hitting those velocity numbers all throughout the game. And I agree. 96, 97 in particular, that's right where you want to live. And just focus on the location. If you're pinpointing 97, that's 100 to these guys. That's good pitching. And especially since he's so heavily on the fastball, he's going to need to rely on his velocity. But he doesn't have to rely on 99, 100 if he is locating, especially when he gets those – because those cutters have some depth to them too, right? They don't just run in. They actually drop a little bit. So it's kind of like almost a little cutter sinker type pitch. And then he obviously has the sinker and then the straight heater. Got a lot of swings and misses, I thought, on up top at the top of the zone. But that's really the thing. We know he comes out with energy. We know he's having fun out there. And yeah, it seems like he comes out a little bit more regulated. I don't know if maybe the day game had something to do with it. The Nationals, I think, are actually the best team in the game against left-handed hitters. So that doesn't help you, obviously. But again, love to see the bounce back game. And yeah, if you're living at 97 and he can find a way to just consistently do that throughout the game, whether it's his first pitch or his 91st pitch, consistent velocity, consistent location. And, you know, obviously leaning heavily on those fastballs, the location and the mix up of, okay, am I coming in cutter in, or am I going to maybe find a way to run that sinker off the front door to those right-handed hitters, right? I'd love to see him continue to lean into those pitches and continue to develop. But as long as he's giving you 6+, I'm really happy with what he's doing. In fact, I don't really care much about the velocity. I just like those innings. And before Early went down, him and Tolley were really doing a good job eating up a lot of innings for the staff. But it's a long season, and it's really hard to avoid injuries. And we're starting to they're starting to pile up here on the staff moving forward. So we'll take these wins when we can get them, though, and looking forward to Tolley's next turn around the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, what Matt said, it's just, it's great to see it. He's a horse. You know, you can put him out there and expect 90 pitches every time, you know, and whether he's even, you know, has his best stuff or not, you can kind of leave, you know, unless he's getting lit up, even if he's giving up 3, maybe 4, you can keep him in there and you still know you can get 90 out of him. And he's just a workhorse, you know, and we're going to ride this young guy, and we trust him. And I think we trust him. I think the team trusts him. The staff trusts him. And if he can keep eating up innings, if he can keep going 6+, you know, it's great. It's huge for the bullpen because it, you know, erases our middle relief problem. And the more they can do that, the more likely more likely for wins.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about throwing 96, 97, keep in mind, Peyton Tully's in the 90th percentile in extension. So with that kind of extension, 97 looks like 103. So he doesn't need to be going out there doing what Jacob Mizrowski's doing. Mizrowski doesn't need to do it either. He's in the 90th percentile of extension. So 107 coming from that, I mean, Jesus, I can't imagine what that looks like. But for Tolley, he doesn't need to be doing that. You know, if he can go deeper into games, like you guys are saying, kind of wipe out that middle relief problem that we have by going into the 6th, 7th inning, you know, use your extension, use your natural ability, and just save the bullets for later. I think that would be huge for him.
Yeah, and just in addition to that, if he could just continue, because we saw flashes of those off-speed pitches early in the season, and then it seems like he's really abandoned them lately. But, man, if he can work on some sort of slider, sweeper, curveball, or improve on that pitch, I mean, now he's a really dangerous pitcher, right? That extension, you're right, the extension makes it feel like 100, 103. So he could probably even live at 96, 97 if he's got that third or fourth pitch in his repertoire. But, you know, hey, look, he's finding ways to get outs at the major league level. He's finding ways to go deep in the game. And let's not forget, this guy's just a rookie. It feels like he's a veteran already. He doesn't look like a rookie out there. And you know what? He's having fun. And I think the team has fun around him too. It's definitely fun watching him play, even though despite the season we've been having, it's a fun watching him play. It's fun watching all of our starters hit the mound, honestly. So we just took it to one of the better teams in baseball here on the road, and hopefully we keep it going here in the series.
So before we get to the pitching matchup for tomorrow, you guys both mentioned Garrett Crochet. Obviously, this series is going to remind us a lot of that trade because, you know, Chase Mydroth is an everyday player over there for Chicago. Braden Montgomery has made his debut. Kyle Teal, obviously their everyday catcher. And then Wickelman Gonzalez, I think he's the guy that a lot of people forget about, but 23-year-old reliever. He's in their minor league system now. I think he's working his way back from an injury, but pretty good numbers down in AAA. He'll probably be up with the big league club pretty soon. So one thing I wanted to ask, because obviously Crochet's been hurt most of the season. Before he went down, he didn't look so great. And when we made the trade for Crochet, we were all happy about it. I think we can all agree that was a good trade because we didn't have an ace and we didn't know about Connolly Early or Peyton Tolley yet. Ranger Suarez wasn't here yet. Sonny Gray wasn't here yet. You know, people were still expecting Brian Bayo to take a next step forward. And obviously that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So knowing what we know now about Early and Tolley, knowing that we've got Ranger Suarez here for the next 5 years, obviously Sonny Gray is just a, you know, he's not going to be here for very long, but, and you know, Jake Bennett too, knowing what we know about that, would you at this moment go back and reverse the Garrett Crochet trade? Knowing what you know now about the pitchers in your system and how they've come along, would you go back and undo that trade and get those players back?
No, I wouldn't. I still trust in Ace. And I think, you know, I think hindsight's 20/20, you know, yeah, these players can turn out to be good. But I think when you can get your hands on an ace, you do it. And, you know, you got to be able to take chances. I think if you're a GM in all of sports, you got to be willing to make risks. And I think that's a risk you take. You know, yeah, maybe these players turn out to be something, but this guy is something. And we can bring him onto our team right now and have a real ace. And I think you make that move pretty much every time.
Yeah, great question. Before I answer and give my take, outside of the Crochet trade, there are some other familiar faces over on the Sox, right? We saw a guy, Jordan McKinley Hicks, who we got back in the Devers trade. He's now pitching for the White Sox, pitched against us tonight. Andrew Benintendi, who obviously came up one with us in 2018. He's bounced around a little, but the highest paid free agent from the White Sox history. And then Miguel Vargas, I don't know if most people know this, but he is on the White Sox because of a guy by the name of Michael Kopech, who was one of the pieces that we flipped in the Chris Sale trade. So that trade tree is still alive for the White Sox, and Vargas made the All-Star team actually as a third base. He plays both corner positions, having a really nice season. So, you know, there's seeds. There's Red Sox seeds all over the field tonight. Look, I'm going to take the opposite approach as Doug. Given the benefit of hindsight, I'm actually going to not pull the trigger on the Crochet trade. Not that I actually regret the trade. I think both teams are kind of winning. I know that he went down this year, but he was an absolute ace last year, second best pitcher in the AL. Again, hopefully he finds a way to come back and pitch this year. But yeah, he's a rare arm, top five pitcher in the game. You don't get those every day. I'm perfectly fine and comfortable trading prospects for a guy like that. But if I have hindsight, I'm actually going to go back a little bit farther and I'm going to hold on to a guy by the name of Chris Sale, because seeing what he ended up doing for the Braves, if we hang on to him and find a way to work an extension, you know, he was unhappy with his performance, made comments about not earning his money. If we find a way to work with Sale and find like an extension, extend him to a more reasonable dollars, and he goes out and forget the Cy Young, but gives you good pitching. I know he's kind of faded in September and that's his MO, but he's been pitching very well for the Braves over the last few seasons. And if you give me those numbers, mix in with Tolley and Early, and now we still hold on to some of those prospects. I mean, I'm okay with what Wong's been doing at the plate, and I didn't really have any issues with Narvaez, although he is struggling lately. I definitely want to know part of Mickey Gasper, but Kyle Teal's an upgrade. Kyle Teal does provide offense to the team. Brandon Montgomery, I actually think if he's in our system, I'm hoping he's not in the big leagues just yet. But yeah, he came up, made an impact right away, hit a walk-off home run in his first game. And I actually, Chase Meadroth was one of my favorite players in that deal. I know he's not lights out right now or having like a crazy good season, but has kind of quietly been a really just solid ball player, plays middle infield, steals a couple bags, really good bat to ball type player, you know, doesn't give you a lot of strikeouts, pretty much the type of player that you want like a Caleb Durbin to be. He's almost been the missing piece, scrappy right-handed contact hitter that we need. Again, not a highlight of the deal. I'll definitely trade him for Crochet all day, but if you're giving me the benefit of hindsight, I'm actually going to keep Sale and hope that he gives me the same type of numbers as he's given for Atlanta. And then I'm going to hold on to those arms or to those other prospects and either flip them for another bat of some sort or another key piece, or let them come up and grow in the system and have different guys to choose from, right? I mean, we've seen injuries. We've seen, you know, Meyer and Anthony both go down for extended period of time in both their first two seasons. So time will tell on all of the prospects that are coming up. I don't really think anybody's lighting it up right now, you know, at this time. I don't think there's a true loser in the trade just yet. Teal, you know, has been playing nice, but he missed most of the season with an injury himself. So I don't think there's really a wrong answer to this question. But the hindsight, yeah, give me those prospects back, actually, and I'll probably flip them for someone else, and I'll hang on to Sale, and we're still going to have an elite staff and more trade capital to hopefully really round out for a better roster overall.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I think I'm with Matt. I would go and I would undo the trade and get those prospects back. And it's not because I'm down on Garrett Crochet at all. I agree with Doug. I think Crochet, once he's healthy, he's going to come back and he's going to pitch lights out. Like, I have no concerns about that. And I think that could be really great for the Red Sox when and if eventually he comes back. So it's not because I'm down on him. He's an elite pitcher. And, you know, obviously it's very tempting, right, to make a trade like that, get a guy like that. So happy he's here. But with the benefit of hindsight, as you said, Matt, yeah, I would undo the trade. And I would, because I look at a guy like Brayden Montgomery and I say, he's your Jaron Duran replacement. So, you know, switch hitting outfielder who's 22 years old and looks like he's big league ready. So then I would flip Duran for Joe Ryan or something like that, you know, like back when his value was a little bit higher. So, you know, a guy like Chase Mydroth, is he going to be the next Dustin Pedroia? Probably not, right? Like, most likely not. But he's a good, nice little player. Like, hits around 270, as Matt said, doesn't really strike out, takes walks, plays pretty good defense. He's a right-handed hitter, kind of a scrappy guy. You know, I'll take that at second base for a couple of years before I find a better upgrade. Kyle Teal, anytime you can get a catcher who can hit, you should take it. And yeah, sure, behind the plate, is he great at throwing out runners? No, but that's something you can always improve. Or if he doesn't, then you move him to first base or DH later on. You know, you keep the bat. And even a guy like Wickelman Gonzalez, like, you know, again, 23-year-old reliever. You know, he's got good stuff. And I think that, you know, I'd rather have a guy like that than Justin Slayton right now. So with the benefit of hindsight, I think I would undo the trade just because I feel like those pieces could help you and it would allow you to flip other parts of your big league roster for more pitching, right? So, okay, you lose Garrett Crochet, but like I said, if you can, you know, replace Duran with Montgomery, then you put Duran in a package to go get a Joe Ryan or go get some other, you know, starter that's close to Crochet's caliber, maybe not quite the same level, but something similar. And then you still have one of the best rotations and you probably have a stronger lineup, which I think we can all agree if that was the case for this Red Sox team, you know, we'd be looking at, you know, chasing the race for first place, maybe even being in first place. So it's just an interesting kind of thought because obviously, you know, seeing these guys in person now playing the White Sox, it's like, yeah, that Mydroth's a pretty nice player. Damn. Like, and look, Anthony Seager is doing great for you at second base right now. It's just, is that going to last? I mean, Anthony Seager was a first round pick 8 years ago and really never cracked it with any team except for the Red Sox. So eventually water's probably going to find its level there, but it's just an interesting thought. You know, obviously we hope that Crochet gets healthy sooner rather than later because you add him back to this rotation. It could really do wonders for this team. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. Two more games against the White Sox this week. So starting with tomorrow, it's another 7:40 start, I believe. And we've got Jake Bennett going for the Red Sox against Davis Martin, one of the best starters on Chicago staff. So, Matt, how do you see tomorrow going?
Yeah, that's actually probably going to take the under. I'm not a big betting guy, but that's my way of saying it's going to be a really good pitching matchup. Really like what I've been seeing out of Bennett the last few starts. He's just continues to get better and better. His second stint has been awesome in the big league. So I actually enjoy watching him go out there and deal, young kid, but doing his thing. But you mentioned it, the, what is it? Bennett, I forget his name off the top of my head, but the, Martin. Yeah. So, but he's, you said it, one of their best pitchers actually on the White Sox. So I know we've been hitting a groove offensively, but he's the type of guy that could come out and shove versus us. I'm going to take the Sox tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'm actually going to take the Red Sox tomorrow. Why not? Let's keep it rolling. Let's hopefully that Bennett can keep give you another good quality start here. And are we going to do games prediction for the next game too, Jason? Just so I know to.
Oh yeah, yeah, we can do that.
Okay, because actually, I think, I don't know, who knows what we're going to get out of Sandoval, the long-awaited Sandoval return. But I see there's a lefty on the mound, and the Sox have quietly become the best offense in the American League versus left-handed pitching. I don't know if I'm reading this right on Baseball Reference, but I started pulling it up towards the end of the game today just out of curiosity because I thought the White Sox were one of the better teams against lefties. And to my surprise, I saw the Red Sox up there towards the top of the list. I think they were the first American League in the American League in versus lefty in batting average, on-base percentage, OPS, OPS plus. So not exactly sure how that happened, but I actually like them in that third game versus a lefty. Hopefully Sandoval can find a way to give you, you know, 80 plus pitches. I'm going to say 5+ innings, but yeah. So tomorrow we're going to need Bennett to go deep into the game as well, because we're probably going to need a couple extra arms out of the bullpen for Sandoval's start. But I think the Sox probably split both those games. So I'll take the White Sox tomorrow, and then we win game three of the series. Those are my two predictions for the next two games here.
Yeah, I think we split too. I think the opposite, though. I think we win tomorrow. I Bennett's just been lights out, and I just like the way he's really looked. And it's just kind of impossible to know how Sandoval is going to look. He might look great. He might struggle. It's just really hard to predict. So I'll give them that one. I'll take the next game, and taking two out of three, you know, is going to be coming into the Mets is really big, and you know, hopefully you can, you know, sweep the Mets and, you know, keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, I agree with Doug. I think Red Sox will win tomorrow. I like what I'm seeing from Jake Bennett a lot, so I think he'll be able to hold down that White Sox offense. It will be a tough pitching matchup. Again, Davis Martin has been really good for them this year, but, you know, if the Red Sox can kind of grind out three or four runs, I think that'll be enough. And I think Bennett should be able to go pretty deep into the game, and that should be enough. I'm really worried about Sandoval on Thursday. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, gives up the long ball already to begin with in his career. His first start back after a very long rehab, and he's got to go pitch in that stadium against that team that likes to hit home runs and I think hits lefties pretty well. So, yeah, it's, I don't feel good about Thursday. I mean, granted, you know, their pitcher, I think it's Anthony Kay, who's a, I think he's a journeyman left-hander, not really anything special there. But I just feel like Sandoval is going to get his lips ripped off. I just have no confidence in him being able to keep them in it. So, I'm hoping that Red Sox win tomorrow. And, you know, if they lose on Thursday, at least you win the series, right? Like you said, Doug. And then, you know, then you're playing the Mets, who are a garbage fire. So that's a series that you can absolutely sweep, hopefully go into the All-Star break with some good momentum there. So we'll see what happens. We will be back on the air Thursday. So I'll be after Thursday's game. That's a 2:00 game. So not quite sure when that crew will be going on the air, but be sure to check your YouTube and everything.